for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, December the 31st, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the morning.
I'm going to share some this morning on the blood of Jesus. I'm going to teach on the blood, what we have in the blood and what he's given unto us. I always teach deliverance over here, but I'm not sure what we may get into. I may be teaching some on deliverance before I get through, and I may not. I really don't know. But, you know, we have so much in through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I know I've touched on it off and on all week, but I think the Lord is just really trying to show us who we are and what we have and to walk in it, that we can walk in it. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you're here, you're in us. You came when we came this morning. And we ask now, Father, by your Spirit, that you just open our spiritual ears and eyes and understanding. And, Lord, bring to remembrance those things you would have me to share in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you and give you glory and honor. I bind the enemy off this place. I bind principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. I bind kings and thrones and dominions. I take dominion, I take authority over them that you've given unto me, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I command every spirit to be gone out of this place in the name of Jesus. I bind the cut off power from the north, the south, and the east, and the west in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just loosen, Father, your word to work within us and ask you, Father, to draw us by your Spirit. And minister to us this day as we prepare to go into a new year, Lord, that we'll go walking tall in your word, that we will go and proclaim Jesus Christ everywhere as we go, not only by words, but by our deeds, Lord, especially by our deeds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, we heard a lot this week, people, different ones talking, saying different things. Friend, I got an echo. Maybe it's in me, but get it out. I'm willing. The more deliverance I get, the more room I have for Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's better, I believe. It was ringing in my ear. And I don't want it ringing. Praise the Lord. But we've been hearing, talking about salvation. You know, before, we can't, you don't want and you don't need deliverance to your saved, because you know if you minister deliverance to someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, then you're not really doing them a favor, because they have no protection. And so I'm going to give you just a little bit a testimony this morning about how we were working with a girl in our church. And I said I'm not going to do deliverance or teach deliverance, but I don't know how I teach without doing it. Praise the Lord. But this girl, we were doing deliverance on her, trying to, and we'd do deliverance on her, and she'd just get buckets full of deliverance. I mean, literally, we would, you know, we used little small garbage cans and Kleenex, and somebody was forever emptying a garbage can, bringing another one to her. And we think, oh, boy, she's really delivered this time. She's, you know, she's great. I mean, it's going to be great. And she'd walk out the door, and I feel better. I hate anybody tell me they feel better after deliverance. I told her I didn't want her to feel better. I wanted her to be delivered. And she'd walk out the door, and the next time she came back, everything was back again. I mean, everything. And this went on for quite a while. We just really on the ball. We knew exactly what was wrong, because she kept talking about God, that she knew God, you know. And I found that if you have people that talk to you about God, you check up on what God they're talking about. Because when finally, but we kept praying for her and kept asking the Lord to fill her and to draw her. And we were, you know, doing just, she came to us from another church and we took her at her word. And one morning we were doing there one night, sometime we were doing deliverance on her, and this spirit spoke up to me and said, "You old woman." I don't like nobody call me that. I can call myself that, but I don't want nobody else to do it. Said, "You're so stupid." And I thought to myself, well, no, I'm not stupid, but I really don't know what's going on here. He said, "You know, we almost had this woman." He said, "She came to this blankety blank church and said, you almost got her soul back. But you can't deliver because she's not saved." I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And so anyways, but the thing was, as what had been happening as we were doing deliverance on her, we were calling her soul back and breaking soul ties, and she was getting her soul back. And then after she received her soul, I mean, you know, as the Lord did this work in her, as it came back with it each time we broke soul ties, she came to me one day and she said, "You know what?" She said, "The name of Jesus was not real strong in me." And she was saying this to me. She said, "I was serving, had a God, but it wasn't God, the Lord God." She'd been listening to this spirit and she'd been talking to it. And that thing was blocking her from hearing. See, we were preaching Jesus to her, but we do that with everyone we minister deliverance to. I mean, in our church, we preach Jesus. I do more deliverance teaching over here than I do in my own church because my people, you know, we've taught them so much, so long, we just teach them the word. And finally, one day she said to me, she said, "You know, I have been so deceived." But God delivered her from that thing. And she got, and saved. She was, I believe she was saved all along. I just think the demon was telling her this. But I do know this, that it, whether she was or not, those spirits came back in every time she walked out. She did not know how to stand and keep her deliverance. Let me tell you something. If you come into the church and you go, what I call Catholic church style deliverance and pick up and want just this kind of deliverance or that, you know, I want to get rid of addiction to cigarettes or addiction to something else and then walk out, you can't get deliverance like that. You got to come and say, "Lord, you said they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." But when you minister deliverance to someone and you be sure you know Jesus Christ, not don't know about him, but know him. Because we don't know how many people we take for granted when they come here that, and I'm sorry, I've been real guilty of that, of believing they came here to get ministered to, and I just take for granted they knew Jesus. But I'm really beginning to wonder about some of the people that have come in, you know, got deliverance and then some and then left and they come back again and you're doing the same thing again. But when you, you know, the word says in John chapter 3, Jesus came to the Pharisees. You know, he told that they told him in John 3 said, well, the word says in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to give you some scriptures today that Jesus himself said that some, he came to seek and to save some that would believe. He came to save all. But what he was saying, there was only some going to really truly believe him. And so, I'm going to begin this morning in chapter 12 of Exodus on the blood. The blood sacrifices that over in Exodus when the children of Israel and Moses was fixing to bring them out of Egypt. God was going to use Moses to do it. And God spoke to him in chapter 12 and verse 3. He said, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Verse 5 says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Verse 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side door post and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And verse 11 says, "And thus shall they eat it with your, thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And I looked that word up this morning, plague, in the concordance, and it said, the infectious diseases, the plague of Egypt, he said, would not be upon them, upon you. And then it said, disease, are those diseases. I heard someone preaching one time and said, every one of those plagues, and I don't remember who, they didn't name the plagues, but they named only one. Every one of the plagues that came upon Egypt that God sent was a different kind of disease. I never have studied that so in that way, so I don't know. But I'll tell you what, let's finish reading this. Let's look at 23, verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintels and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in into your house to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing. Well, let's see. Let me go down to verse 27. That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice. When the children come to him, he said, Moses was saying, when the children come to you, you'll say that it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of Israel, the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head in worship. When I started this study, the Lord sent me back up here to just show you, remind you, look what the word said. These Israelites were in the land of Goshen. I hear people getting real fearful when people go to talking about what's going on here, you know, in our world today. But God's people were protected in the land of Goshen because none of those curses that came God gave them this to bring them out. None of those curses touched them or their families because they were seeking the Lord and they were walking under God's protection. Let me tell you something. We walk under God's protection. If you'll believe you've got it, you've got protection from the enemy. You've got, and you, if your heart's right and you know, but one thing I want you to look at, he said he wanted a lamb without spot or without blemish. And that tells me that God wants his people clean themselves up so that when the enemy comes, he'll find, like Jesus said, if you find, he found no part in him. And God wants us to be what we say we are. He wants us to clean up our lives. And then he said over there, the destroyer couldn't go in their houses because of the applied blood. They had to apply that blood to the doorpost, though. They couldn't just walk in presumption. And that's what God is saying to us. He said, you can't walk and say, I'm okay, and live like the devil. You've got to apply the blood, and you've got to be obedient to what God calls you to be and to do. We've got to obey God. You know, the word says over in Revelation, it talks about those that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And then there's one in Matthew says that the way is narrow that leads into everlasting life, but the road to destruction is broad. And God's telling his people, we can't walk with the world and obey God. And we have been pulled. If you find yourself being drawn into the world, you need to check up on what's happening in your life. Because let me tell you, the word tells us that in the last times, that if God did not shorten the days, even the very elect would be deceived. And I see people being deceived. I hear people, it just really is scary if you really stop and think about it, that way people are trusting. For instance, I came out of the once saved, always saved bunch. Anybody know anything about that? It was awful when I began to really see what what they were teaching and what people were doing, saying, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm going to make it to heaven. Well, honey, they'd be miserable when they got there the way they lived here on this earth.
Amen.
They never knew how to read the Word. They didn't bother reading the Word. They didn't bother praising the Lord. They didn't bother do anything but just got their name. They were baptized. They were wet in water and got their name on the church roll. I'm not knocking churches, but I'm telling you people that we've got to obey God. If we don't obey His Word, if we don't appropriate what He's done for us and walk in it, and He did everything for us. Jesus Christ upon the cross did everything. You know, it's scary. I had to deal with my own son. He came out of the Baptist church. He was married to a Baptist preacher's daughter. He came out of it years ago. They divorced years ago. And when he came to the Lord, he said he rededicated his life. I said, no, you didn't. You got saved. He said, Mama, I said, no, son. Nobody that serves the same Lord I do lived like you lived.
Amen.
I said, you came to know Jesus Christ. You don't live like that. I know where he came from, and I saw what happened to him when he got saved. He came, but he had lived under the... If that boy... Praise God for the prayers of his mom and daddy. We prayed and kept him protected. But you see, he was trusting in tradition, religious tradition. Let me tell you something. I told my son one time, I said, you don't serve the same God I do. He said, Mother, I said, no, you don't. I said, if you did, your life would change drastically. When he came, he's still not there. He's still not there. I'm still praying for him. He says, I pray every day that God keep me saved. I said, God's told you how to stay saved. Yeah, yeah. And see, I'm not going to pat him on the back and say, son, you're going to make it. I'm going to say, son, you're going to hell if you don't clean up your life. You say, you talk to your kids like that? Yeah, I'm old as I am. And they, I don't care if they're 100 and I'm 150. They still going to hear from me. Because God gave me the Word He gave. And I'm not going to let them get away with it. And see, we have got to stand on this Word. We have got to believe it and obey it. You know, I said that yesterday. I think that we got to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And so it's time for us to really... zero in and walk in what God's called us to walk in. Okay. Verse 27, I read that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. And the children of Israel in verse 28 went away and did as the Lord had commanded. And it came to pass at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captives that was in the dungeons, and all the firstborn of cattle. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Can't talk on the blood, teach on the blood unless you read that part of chapter 53. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse, we're going to start verse 8. You know what? I've been in this Word off and on all my life, but really a lot the last 30 years. I mean, day and night, because I do a lot of reading, a lot of studying. But, you know, it just amazes me sometimes when I'm reading the scripture, I've read over and over again, how God just opens it up and I see something different in it. I don't mean different, but more in it than I did to start with. And he said here in chapter 8, 53 verse 8, he said, he was talking about Jesus. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Let's back up and look at this. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. What do we do when somebody comes against us? Do we stand there and just love them? Cast that lying spirit out. We don't do it. He is brought as a lamb to the, you have a sweet spirit, I'll say that for you. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. The Lord's telling me that's what we need to start doing, is really opening not our mouth when things don't suit us, or we get our feathers ruffled, or however you want to say it, that we need to pray and say, Lord, I want to be like Jesus. I don't mean he wants somebody to walk over and run over you, but if they do, just bless them and go on. But our human nature, our old flesh, wants to rise up and tell off. Well, who do they think they are? You know, don't tell me you don't do it. Maybe you're controlling it and maybe you're getting over it, but we want to be like him, don't we? And he said, he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in death he became, because he had done no violence, neither was in deceit in his mouth. Remember what the word said about Jesus, when Satan came to him, he could find no place in him. That's where we want to be. That when the enemy comes, you know, the word says over in Proverbs that a curse causeless can't come. So if we get to the place where we're cleaned up on the inside, when the enemy comes, he'll find no way to get in. And that's where God is trying to bring us to, so we can walk into the kingdom of God. You know, I heard a preacher say one time that God wants us to walk on this earth when we depart this life, if we depart before Jesus comes, that walking out of this world into the other would just be like going through a door. And that's what we want, isn't it? That it will not be no drastic change. We just want to walk right on through that door if perhaps we don't linger till the Lord comes. I'm planning on being here and fighting the enemy till Jesus comes. And if not, then if the Lord takes me home, well, then I'll fight him, the devil, all the way to into glory. Because I tell you what, God's given us authority over him. And you know, we need to stand and be what we do. Do the word. Be doers of the word. Okay, let's go. Let's go over to Hebrews. Oh, one more before you go there. He says, when in verse 10, but yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. I quoted that several times, and I wanted to show that scripture to you. He poured out his soul unto death. And when I told you that I believe the soul was in the blood, he made his soul an offering. What did he offer? We're going to Hebrews and look. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 9. I tried to share this with a man one time years ago when the Lord gave it to me. And I'm in Romans, that won't work. And he was an elder, a deacon in the church that I had just left. And I was just so excited about some of the things God had been giving to me. And it was bouncing words off of a brass ceiling, because he couldn't understand it. But I was just trying to help him. I wanted him to see some of the things that I was learning, but I never did. He said, "Oh, you're just too far out." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And when we go back, I started with in Exodus, where God required the blood of animals for Moses and them when they came out of Egypt. And then we know that the animal's blood was used to cover sins. But Jesus went into the holy place, most holy place, and God accepted what he had done upon the cross, and he redeemed us. He said, "For with the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit of offer himself without spot and to God, purge your conscience?" The blood of Christ. You know, I believe what I see when I read this and study this, that through the fall, that when man fell, and Jesus Christ came to buy man back, mankind back, that it sounds to me like that even the heavenly holy places were affected by the fall. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross and God accepted his blood, because, in the Old Testament, mankind was looking toward the cross. We look back to the cross for salvation, and they were looking to the cross. And you know, when you study the Old Testament, you know how they brought two animals, they kill one and they put the sins on the other and turn him loose, and the sins were covered for a year. But here, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and because God sent him to, think about this, God sent his only son to be hung upon a, my husband said it wasn't no pretty cross like this. It was a tree. He was nailed to a tree. He did a lot of study on this one time. But regardless, he was nailed. There were nails put in his hands and his feet. And he hung on a cross. There's a book I read one time years ago that talked about the day Christ died. And it gave a real clear picture of how Christ died on that cross, that as he was up on the cross and his hands up like this and his feet with the nails in them, they did that, and a lot of times they would suffocate. And as long as that's why they broke the legs when they put them on the cross, so they couldn't push themselves up to get their air, get breath. And if you remember, not a bone of him was broken, but it's a horrible way to die. And God loved us so much, the world so much. And look how the world has turned from him. Look how the world is trying to erase everything that pertains to Christ out of being. But yet, without the cross, I've heard people say, "Well, I don't like that book, that Bible, it's got too much blood in it." Well, honey, if there's no blood in it, you better throw it away. Because you can't go to be with the Lord without, you can't get saved without receiving what he did through that shed blood upon the cross of Calvary. We have to appropriate it. That's why the whole world is not saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But you gotta believe in it. You gotta believe he's God in the flesh, that he's God's son, and that he came to save you. You know when God saved me, you know what the Lord showed me? This came to me. I was sitting in church, been in church all my life. And I was sitting in the back of a church, and the Lord began to show me that if I'd been the only person in the world when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he died for me. And I had to appropriate what he did, and it literally destroyed me sitting back there in the back of that church, seeing what Jesus Christ did for me. And I thank God that he cleanses us of all sin and he remembers it no more. We're the one that remembers all this stuff because the enemy brings it to us. We like to remember about other people more than we do about ourselves too. And God wants us to let it go, to release it. And he said, if we go from verse 15 to verse 22, it said, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves were with better sacrifice than these." You see, that scripture right there tells you that the Holy of Holies in heaven was polluted. And the blood of Jesus cleansed it. God received it. I was trying to tell this man this when his wife had been a real good friend of mine. When I believed in healing, she left me. She said, I can't believe that you will go and get involved in all of that. But anyways, and he had some smart remark to say, but let me tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious, and God received it. And for us, for you and I, that we could walk free from sickness and the disease, that scripture over in Exodus, the blood protected them from the plague. And the blood will protect us from the plague if we'll appropriate it. If we'll say, Lord, I'm your child. I'm washed in the blood. I'm cleansed. The devil has no right to do this to me. And I receive my healing, my deliverance, my complete fullness, full salvation. I will go before the Lord and say, Lord, Hebrews 6 says that leave the principle of doctrines of baptism and the laying on hands and go on into perfection if God will permit. And I say, Lord, let me go on as far as I can go. Take me as far as I need to go because I want you more than anything else in this world. I want to walk with you. I want to walk. I want to see you. I want to see your face. I want to be led by your spirit. I want to go where you want me to go. Keep me from getting out of your will. Because he said the sons of God are led by the spirit of God. And if we'll ask him, he will permit us to do it. But you, when you ask him to let you go on, if God cannot go on in to where you're talking about. He says there's also a scripture there that says that having tasted of the holy things, the Holy Spirit, the things of God. I'm paraphrasing this, but read this. Hebrews 6, it says, there is no more repentance. Those that have known and tasted of the heavenly things, the good word of God, and turned from them, the word says there's no more repentance. Because that means putting Jesus upon the cross again. So we better walk and we better obey God. I have a lot of trouble with people that live like the devil and then they go around and they want to preach and lay hands on somebody. I don't want them laying hands on me. If I can catch them at first, they're not going to do it either. But God's word tells us that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus for us. For Christ has not entered, in verse 24, into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You know, get a picture of this. You know, Ephesians tells us that Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 says that Paul prayed the prayer that God would give unto us the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. You ought to pray that. Just make it part of your prayer time. And ask him to open your spiritual understanding. Paul prayed that prayer for us. And then the last verse there says he has put all things under his feet. And so we're his body. We're the body. So therefore all things are under our feet. And then he says over in Ephesians 2 verse 7, the 6 or 7, he said that we're seated with him in heavenly places. We're seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven, in heavenly places. Spiritually, we're there. Positionally, we're there. Yeah, you said, well, I'm still here on earth. But you see, we are seated in Christ Jesus because he's there and he's pleading. He goes before, you know, the devil goes before the throne of God and accuses us. But who's standing there interceding for us? Jesus Christ. And so he's got us. He's put all things under our feet. And we're seated in him. And then he's given us power and authority to overcome the devil. Overcome the things of the world. Overcome the flesh. And go on into perfection, to maturity, to walk with him into the kingdom of God and be joint heirs, kings and priests unto God. You know what a king is? He rules. I'm going to get to that scripture in a minute, but I'll tell you this in a little bit sometime, Lord willing. And what a priest is, he leads worship. He sacrifices. He goes into the most holy place. And God said, he's made us the kingdom, kings and priests. We're a kingdom of priests, and we have the privilege to go into the very holy of holies with God. Anytime we use the name of Jesus Christ, we can go before the throne. We don't have to have somebody do it for us. But you're to rule and reign on this earth over the powers of darkness. Yes, as Crystal said, the devil tries to retaliate. But hey, Kick him out. Amen. The name of Jesus is above every name. Over in Colossians it said, God has given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee bows shall bow in heaven, in earth, and beneath the earth. At the name of Jesus, all, everything has to bow to his name. It's also one over in the Old Testament where it talks about it. That's what God wants for you and I. When it comes knocking on your door, don't let him in. Cover your door. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're not coming into this house. I'm talking about this house. You don't have to let him come in. Verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him to come back today? We don't know when he's coming. But I dare say most of us not even looking for him. We just saying, Lord, help, 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 help. I got all these problems. He said, cast your cares over on him, for he cares for you. Lord, you got a lot of problems. That's why I used to tell the Lord when I was praying for my sons, Lord, you got a lot of problems. They're your problems, and you can handle them. You know, God doesn't mind you telling him. Because I sure couldn't do anything about them. I had three sons that was living for the devil. They're not anymore, thank God. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. See that word many? Didn't say all, did it? He came to give his life a ransom for many. All who would receive it. All who would receive the work of the cross. He came to save the whole world. He healed the whole world. He came to heal the whole world, to deliver the whole world. But only those who believe and receive it and walk in it. Okay, let's go over to Acts chapter 20. I just got a verse I want to use. I think I could have stayed up all night last night. I enjoyed. The Lord was just talking to me about this. It was so good. It's hard to go to sleep after you Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Scripture 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We were bought back, redeemed out of the hand of the Lord, out of the hand of the devil. Now, we all know this. We're menless sinners. But we need to really receive what God has really done for us. When we can latch on to the word and the authority he's given us and take it and stand upon it, I know that we do to a certain extent, but, you know, God wants us to walk in it. And to appropriate what he's done. He ransomed. He paid for us. He sent his son to die like an animal. I think I said that yesterday or the day before and when. But he slaughtered him like an animal. And took the blood and for us. Paid the price for us. 1 John chapter 1. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1. And verse 7. Let me read 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So he cleanses us. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we've been purchased, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been cleansed. I was looking at this word, purged. It says to clean, make clean, purify. We've been made clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shed blood. Okay, let's go on to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commanded his love toward us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, justified by his blood. Let me see, I can read my note up here. We've been made righteous. We've been cleansed. We have right standing with him. Justified. God looks at me as if I had never sinned. That's what justification means. Because God looks at me. You know how God sees us? Since God can't look on sin, he looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And when he sees us, he looks at us as spirit beings. The real. He looks at the real us. Not this. Not these tabernacles we're walking around here in. And he says, for if we, when we were enemies, said more, verse 9, more, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We've been reconciled back to him. Do you ever have something, say between you and your kids or somebody that you weren't, you'd been real close to, and then you, something came up and you got separated from them. And then when you went, got reconciled back to them, how nice it was and sweet it was. Well, see, mankind came to earth when he created Adam. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Think about it. We've been reconciled back to him, and we can walk with him in the cool of the day, and we can fellowship with him. He said, our fellowship is with the Father. When I get lonely, sometimes God reminds me, hey, I'm the one you fellowship with. I'm the one you need to fellowship with. He says, he loves me, and he says, we can fellowship, and he talks to me. It's not just the one me talking to him, but he talks to me. I get still, and I get in his presence. And I begin to tell him I love him and I want to know him more. And he comes and he ministers to me, just me and Jesus. And he says he's reconciled us back to him so I can sit in his presence. And I like to come into his presence and say, Lord, I don't want anything. I just want to be in your presence. And I don't want to leave. I just want to sit there. And he ministers to me. He pours out love on me. And I'll sit there sometime and just weep and weep. But it's a good weeping. And then something, see, he doesn't move away, but something happens and I move away. Jesus Christ's blood reconciles us to back to the Father where we can have fellowship with him. He says, I'll be a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless. He said, you're my children. He said, come in and talk to me. You know, I watched the little boy, little Isaiah, come over and love his granddaddy a while ago. And I thought, that is so precious because every once in a while, you know, you need some love. And you know how you love having your kids say, oh, hey, I love you. Let me hug you. Well, think about this. We're God's kids. He wants us to come in and fellowship and tell him we love him. Lord, we don't want anything. You've given us everything. We just want you. We want to be in your presence. Come and fellowship with. He said, if you open the door, you know, Revelation 3:20 used to in the Baptist church, we use it as a salvation scripture, but that's not what it is. He says, the Lord was showing me that we have to invite him in. He won't push himself off on us. And he'll come in and say, Lord, come on in with him. Just have your way. Come on, let's sit down and sup. You know how we sup with the Lord? He talks to us. He feeds us. And we're supping with him. And that's reconciliation. He reconciled us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ where we could have fellowship with the Father. Hebrews 13, let's go there. 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You know, he suffered outside of Jerusalem. And he sanctified us. You know, these people that are making saints. Well, I'm a saint. I'm a set apart one. Aren't you? We're saints of God. We're God's people. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he set us apart. And we're not only his children, but we're been sanctified. I hear people saying they've been sanctified, and they, you know, that, well, you are when you come to the Lord. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ. All these things. My whole point of sharing this is what He did for us. He justified us. He redeemed us. He sanctified us. He set us apart. And we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. You have not because you ask not. When you ask amiss. Lord, fill us afresh and anew with your presence. Lord, come and fill this place. Let your temple be filled with your glory. Be filled with your glory, Lord. Let your temple be filled with your glory. Oh, Lord, come and fill us afresh and anew. And have your way, Lord. Have your way. Oh, Lord, your people are hungry, Lord. We're hungry for you. We're hungry for your presence, Lord. And we ask you to just manifest yourself in our midst this day. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless you. He said, let the temple be filled with his glory. Romans chapter 3. We are hungry people. We are hungry people. Chapter 3, verse 23. Since we're all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. Freely, you know. He saved us by his grace. He justified us by his shed blood. He said, Ephesians 2 says, not by works. You know, you can't work yourself away there. You can't get righteous by works. Works come because you love Jesus. And there's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous. We are righteous by his grace. He justified us freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. See, it all comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Faith in his blood, it's ours. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. He came to justify us, to set us, to cleanse us, to bring us into the fullness of his presence, come in. And, you know, I believe with all my heart, and I have believed this for a long time, I just don't know anybody that's doing it, that there's a place to walk with God, that when you walk down the street, that the presence of God in you will cause people to fall on their face and receive Jesus. You know, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, I'm not sure that people would do that. He walked with the Lord. He wouldn't even allow a newspaper in his house, let alone the garbage of the TV. People say, well, you know, when you say something like that, people say, now you're just too religious and you're too extreme. Let me tell you something. If you want what I'm talking about with God, you don't care what people say and you don't care what it'll cost you. And it may cost you your family. It may cost you your kids. But you see, God said he'd bring them back. If we'll obey God, he'll bring the kids back in. Kids say, well, I can't do anything. You're under the law. No, it's not that. You just don't want to do nothing. You know, you just want him. You want him more than you do anything else. I love my family. I'll tell you something. I love God better. I don't know how to love my kids without God. You don't either. I've told my kids years ago, I said, when I was raising you, I was religious. You accuse me of being religious. I was very religious. But you see, when I came to know Jesus, I had to go repent to my kids and tell them I didn't even know how to love you. Because without the love of God, I didn't know how. And I asked them to forgive me. I said, well, my kids to forgive me. Because I tell you, when I came to Jesus, he did a work. And I praise him for it. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what people say or think about you. If you want him, it's going to cost you everything you've got. My husband used to say, Jim used to say, you know, salvation, people say salvation is cheap. He said it is. This costs you everything you got. That means your thoughts, your life, put everything, you turn it over to him. Because we want him to lead and guide us, don't we? We can't go back. We can't come forward every Sunday morning and repent and say, I've been backslidden. I need to get saved again. If you love the Lord, you keep pushing toward him, not from him. And you don't go out the door and walk into the devil's camp and then come back and say, I'll go down to the church house and get deliverance. Let us get cleaned up. Let us get walking in what God wants us to, and let us go tell the whole world about it. You know, people are hurting. They need what we've got. And God loves them too. Okay, let's go on. Romans 4, verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Lord dropped that in my spirit this morning when I was studying, going over scriptures again. He said, the reason we don't walk in this is because of our unbelief. We believe as far as we will let ourselves do it. And I say we let ourselves. You've got a will. We've got a will. The devil can't make you do anything you don't want to do. You know that? You got a will. God made us with a will. And so if we'll believe this word, if we'll get in there and just say, Lord, your word said it, and that's, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I have to tell the Lord that all the time. Lord, I messed up, but you know, he shows me, and then you repent. And then you say, Lord, don't let me do that again. Let me walk on and away from all of this and show me the way to go. But if we believe him, we won't have to have everybody and his brother praying for us, because we'll be praying for everybody and their brother. Amen? We won't have to have everybody and his brother casting spirits out of us, but we'll be casting them out of everybody else. Give you some food for thought. I hope y'all not sleep on me. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go over to Hebrews again, chapter 11. You want to please God? Sure you do. In Hebrews in chapter 11 in verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Did you know that when we seek the Lord with all our heart, we diligently seek after him? We please him. You see, you want to please the Lord? You love him. You believe him. You trust him. That pleases him. And then he rewards us. I don't know how. And he's so good to me at times, it's just hard to, you know, to explain it. That you can, I spend so much time, just he and I, and I'll be sitting there and I'll say, Lord, it's kind of lonely today. What would you have me to do? I'm available. And there may be a phone call, there may be a knock on my door. Or he may just tell me to go to town. I've had God to tell me to go to town. I've also had him tell me, don't go. I've gotten in my car and got, and I just felt in my spirit that I wasn't supposed to go to town. I thought, Lord, what's happening? I don't know. So I get out of my car. I'm already dressed, ready to go to town, in my car, go back in the house. And so there I sit and wait to see what God's going to do. 9 times out of 10, it'll either be the telephone or somebody come to the door. And if I had not been there and obeyed God, if I'd have gone and said, well, that's just me, I'm going to go on, you know, I don't really want to go on with, but yeah, I did, I had to go. But he said no. So then when I sit there, he brings that, whatever the problem is, somebody needs help, needs prayer, whatever. And by being obedient to him, and then after I sit there, guess who gets blessed? Me. See, when we obey him to share, to help, or pray something for someone, is a blessing, and I get blessed by it. And then after they leave and this is all over with, and I say, well, Lord, I really didn't need to go to the grocery store or something, you know, and I feel I can go. And I'll tell you what, this is the blessing to me, because after I have been obedient to the Lord in that area and stayed there and done what he wanted me to do, when I go into wherever I'm going, everybody I meet speaks to me, just like they know me all my life. Because the Spirit of God is still working in me, and it's drawing them, and they don't understand it, but it's just great. And I just think, Lord, that's where we want to live, just to be servants of the Lord, to be work and do his work. And so as we appropriate all that He's given unto us, then we can walk in this. It doesn't happen all the time like that, but most of the time it does. It's so interesting how God will bless us as we obey Him. It's not always easy. See, if I had not come over here for this week, my daughter would have stayed with me through it till the first of the year. But she said, "I'm coming to see you." And I said, "You know I go to Hot Springs." "Now, Mother, if you don't go..." I said, "Honey, come January, I'll be home." She's tried that on me twice in like Thanksgiving and this holiday. And she knows that I come over here. I told her I'd pick her up at the airport and bring her, and she wouldn't do it. She said, "No, I'll just wait." Oh, she came earlier. Then she said, told me, I talked to her the other day, and she says, "I'll be over there the last of January, first of February." She's going to come to the house. I said, "Remember, I go to Hot Springs in February." But see, God takes care of it. It's not always easy, you know, to fight your kids because they know my schedule. Every one of my kids know what I do. And so if they can't work around it, it's their problem. It's not mine. Because I do what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord blesses me. Amen. I tell you, He blesses me. I'm the one blessed. I get to share the word. Amen. God just shares the word. I tell you, I just could sit under somebody preaching the word day and night, couldn't you? Let's go to 1 Peter and verse 18. So as far as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your father. I'll stop and tell you this. I used to teach Sunday school years ago in a Baptist church. Had a little girl in there that always got upset with me because I would teach from Revelation. I always liked to teach from Revelation. I teach it different than I did back then, but I would still teach it. And she would just get so upset, and she was afraid she was going to, die and go to hell or whatever. And she said, I'd say, "Nikki, you need Jesus." "I'm saved. My grandma plays the piano." I said, "I don't care. God don't have any grandchildren. You need Jesus." And she gets so mad at me. She said, "Miss Coffey, you scare me." I said, "Honey, I'm trying to get you. Trying to tell you God loves you, that you need Jesus." "But my grandma, I've been in church all my life, and my grandma plays the piano." I said, "I don't care if your grandma is a preacher and your daddy and your mama too. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Everybody has to come through the cross to receive what the cross has, the work of the cross." That child, she was in her teens, I think about 16 years old, we finally got her saved. She finally realized that God, she wasn't saved just because grandma and her had been in the church all of her life. He says, "For as much as, now think about the tradition. So many people are walking in tradition. Well, I've been in church all my life. We had revival one time. I mean, we had a revival one time when I was in Baptist church and all the deacons got saved. I'm telling you, we had a man that came and all he taught was love. He taught on love, the love of God. And every one of them repented and got saved. Tradition of man. Well, because they came in the church. And see, this is what's so scary today. And I'm not putting it down. Don't get me wrong. But let's look at this. Many people go into the churches. A lot of them are saved. I'm not saying they're not, because I had some good friends in there. And I know they knew the Lord. And, but they'll come in and they walk the aisle. The preacher will give an invitation. They'll walk the aisle. And I've seen this happen, and he puts words in their mouth, especially if they're children, and say, tell them what to say. What did God do for you, And then they sit down, he shakes hands with them, they sit down, he baptizes them, and they go on their way. The scary part is that if it's a child, they may believe that and may never really come to the Lord. And if it's an adult, they think they are safe, and nobody's told them about Jesus. It's scary, because how many people are sitting in pews that know about Him but don't know Him? And Peter said here, but you're saved with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, but who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, Thank God. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. A person has to know about Jesus' birth, his life, the cross, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and believe it for salvation. I hear people saying angels can't preach. When I was in the Baptist church, I used to say angels can't preach the gospel. The first one that preached it was an angel that preached it to Mary. He came and told her that the child that was going to be born in her was going to be called Jesus, that he was the Son of God, that the Holy Ghost was going to move upon her, and the conception was going to come forth. God taught me salvation like this. Because I went to the preacher when I was in Baptist church and said, I want to know how you get saved. And he said, well, you invite Jesus in your heart. I said, I know how you do that. I'm out talking to people, trying to share Jesus with them, and I don't know how to do it. And he gives me the Roman road. And I said, I tell people that, but they don't understand it. Will you tell me how to explain it to them so they can understand it? And he says, I'll get back to you. Well, he never got back to me, so God told me. Took me a long time to get it, but he told me. He said, when that angel came to Mary and spoke that word to her, what did Mary say to that angel? Be it unto me according to your word. And she received those words. Now, God told me that's the way we're saved. You receive the word into your heart, the Holy Ghost takes it, and the new birth has come. A lot of times there's an abortion because people don't walk in it and feed the Spirit and learn what the word says. And so here he says that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Okay, going on. Revelation chapter 1. I'm hoping I have time to get to the rest of it. We'll see. Have I got plenty of time? Okay, good.
We're not going home until after
midnight. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us. We're washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm still on what he's done for us, okay? And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. A kingdom of priests. He's made up. We're a kingdom of priests that unto God.
We are not a king.
We worship him. We can, as a group, we're part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. And because the kingdom is within us, we can worship and praise God as his children. The kingdom of God is within you. I'm praying Brother Glenn's going to get on and teach us about the kingdom. Really? Preach us. Okay. Wait a minute. Let me see where I'm going from there. Revelation chapter 12.
There's only one king, and that's
Jesus Christ. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 12, verse 11. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. You see, we overcome the enemy, the world, and the flesh, even your flesh, by the blood of the Lamb. You know, we talk about overcoming the enemy by the blood. Now, that's talking about Satan was kicked out of Lucifer, was kicked out of heaven, he and his angels, and fell to earth, and he came and, you know, was coming to torment God's people. But the thing is, we can overcome the things of this flesh if we'll remember that we're children of God and that we have authority, and by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood, that the devil has no right to attack us if we'll walk in what we've been talking about this morning. If we'll cover ourselves with the blood. You don't plead the blood. You cover yourself with the blood. You ask God to cover you with the blood. I know when people say they plead the blood, what they're saying is, Lord, I'm pleading for what you've already done, but that's not scriptural, and what he wants us to be is scriptural. We need to use the word in every area that we fight the enemy. I was telling the ladies upstairs, mind the flesh. The soul, the flesh has a mind of its own. Dr. Noel was telling me one time, a long time ago, I was standing back then back at church, we were talking about somebody, he was telling me that a doctor friend of his had put a lady on the diet. I don't know what kind of doctor she was, but she had been losing weight. She wanted to lose weight, and he put her on the diet. And she lost weight for a while. And then it stopped. It just stopped. And Doc told me, doctor said to him, might not have put this out, but they'll do it anyway. I done too late. He said this, doctor said to him, said, you know, it's just like the mind, the flesh had a mind of its own. And I thought about that, and I thought about where the word says that a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. So I thought, okay, I'm going to bind the mind of my flesh. So I bind my flesh. I bind the mind of the flesh. And it works. I'm binding all those false desires, false appetites, and the false, all this stuff that's in the soul, you know, in the soul, you know, go look it up in the Hebrews, in the Hebrews concordance, 53:15 says the flesh is, the soul is a breath, and it's a mind, will, emotions, appetite, personality, vitality, and all of this. Well, look, if that's what it is, and what that doctor was talking about, I said to Doc, well, it sounds like the flesh does have a mind. I said, because we eat stuff we don't want. I mean, we don't need it. It's a habit a lot of times. 3 meals a day, when that time of day comes, you go eat whether you're hungry or not. And, you know, think about it. That didn't cost you anything. You can do what you want to with it. But I'll tell you what, it worked for me. So maybe it will for you if you're interested. But going on. We do need to apply the blood to the flesh, the things of the flesh, and take authority over them, okay? Okay, let's go over to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, in the first verse, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants a living sacrifice. He don't want a dead one. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. He says, to present ourselves to him a living sacrifice, that which is our reasonable service. Not unreasonable, is it? God's word said it's not. God, here I am. What do you want with me? Do with me as you will. So we come to him. And, you know, my son keeps saying, I'm not dead yet, talking about himself. I'm not dead yet. I said, son, God don't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living one. I said he hadn't called me back since I told him that one, so he'll call me. He'll get hungry later. He'll call me again. But it's true. You see, he's trying to die and he can't. And he needs to say, Lord, here I am, and you take this and work with it the way you want to, and loosen yourself unto him. Revelation chapter 5. One more in this area. Now I'm gonna give you some scriptures. I want to give you some things that the Lord showed me. Chapter 5 and verse 9. I believe it is. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. See, God wants his people to reign on the earth. He wants us to reign and rule and reign now over the things around about us, especially over our own lives. And if we'll stand upon what God has given us, we can do that if you want to. Or you can sit back and just let the world pass you by and not be of any earthly use. You be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good to God. So God wants us to take the authority and to walk in it and to run the enemy off. Pray for people, get them, bring them into the kingdom. Pray for this church here, that God will fill these meetings with people from door to door, and they'll have to put up chairs and open that up, because the world people, church people need what we've got here, and we need to pray that God will bring them in. And because we sit back and we come up, now I'm fussing at you now, we come over here and we receive, but go home and pray that God will bring a lot of more people, and you come back with them and you can help minister to them. When they need deliverance, you can cast them out. You can say, God wants us to do the work. He's given us authority, and we need to be available for what God wants. So, anyways, God said, He's made us unto God. You know, God has blessed us all. Every one of us are blessed because we know Jesus. And God wants us to take what we know and walk in it. Okay, I want to give you some scripture.
That verse says, it says, and the King James says, kings and priests in this translation. And you should mark your Bible, kingdom.
Right.
God has made us a kingdom of priests, not kings.
Mm-hmm. We are a kingdom. We're the kingdom of, and God's kingdom is within.
That's right.
And there's only one king, and that's Jesus Christ. He's Lord of lords and King of kings.
You hear people teach we're going to be kings, that's error.
Yeah. That gives a whole wrong precept of what the kingdom's all about, what God wants for us. But we, and priests, we worship. He's made us a group of people together and worship God and seek His face and the presence, His presence. Okay. Over in, I'm not going to read these scriptures, but I want to give you these. You know, I told you to look at the cross and see what Jesus had done. And, well, let's go to John 19. Let's look at that. What they did to Jesus before He went to the cross. As He went to the cross. Chapter 19 of John, in verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe, and they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote Him with their hands. That crown that they put on His head, I raised roses. I'm going to tell you something. Some of my roses have thorns on them that long. But I'll tell you this, the crown they put on the head of Jesus was a lot worse. And the blood ran down His face, okay? That beating they gave Him, that beating, over in the Psalms, it talks about that. I believe that's where it is. Let me look. Psalms 109, I think it's 129. You know, if we just look at what happened to Jesus, and how they treated Him, and He opened not His mouth. We wouldn't have a right to open our mouth about anything, would we? Said, the power of the plow is plowed unto my back. Psalms 129 and verse 3 said, the plow is plowed into my back, that they made long their furrows. You know, they whipped Him with a cat of nine tails. And each one of those strips had a bone or something in them, and that literally just pulled the flesh off of His back. Isaiah 52 said that He scarcely looked like a man. They had beaten Him so, and the crown and all of this, but He opened not His mouth. Matthew 27:31 talks about the crown of thorns again. And the fountain opened for the cleansing. There's a scripture over, and I did write it down. It's Zechariah 13. It talks about, I'm not going over there, but if you want to read it, it's Zechariah 13, chapter 13, 1 through 6, said that Zechariah saw a fountain flowing. And verse 6 says, he was wounded in the house of his friends. Jesus was wounded in the house of his friends. But when you look at what happened to Jesus through the cross, through the crown of thorns, through the beating, you know, they pull His beard out and spit in His face. I don't think we've had anybody, unless you're doing deliverance, and anybody spit in your face. Sometimes when you do deliverance, you do, somebody will spit in your face. But see, He went through all this, and whatever comes to us is nothing like what He suffered for us. And so we're really without excuse. You know, when we flare up, it's just us letting our old flesh hang out. Amen? Okay, I'm going to quit. But you know, that we have so much. We were justified by him. I had written this down. We're justified. He looks at us just as if we're just or innocent and before him. And we're and the blood, the atoning blood, cleansing blood of Christ, and we were cleansed by his blood, we're sanctified by his blood, we're made righteous, and we're justified, and we're set apart, redeemed. We were bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of those things belong to you and I because of what Jesus did upon the cross. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we know who we are. God wants us to be that in him, who we are, that others might see Jesus. You know, my heart's cry is, and I haven't got there, I'm too much of me still there, but I want to be like Jesus so people can, you know, ask me what's different about you. Why are you different, you know? And then you can share Jesus with them. I so want to be like him one day. He's still working. And my husband came in one time with a button, some kind of button. I don't remember what I was on it, but it had a lot of letters, and it said, "Be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet." I thought that was pretty good. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these people being so patient with me, and I ask you to bless each one, Lord. And if there's any need, we just ask you to meet every need. Your word said you'd given us authority. You had delivered us from the hands of the devil, even as you delivered the Israelites by the blood of the animals. Lord, we've been delivered through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And sickness and disease has no part nor lot in our life. And I bind every spirit of sickness this morning and disease and break its hold and command it to depart and be gone by the stripes of Jesus. And we lose healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you've given us. And Lord, may we go forth and share it with others. In Jesus' name, we praise you and give you glory and honor, Lord. We just welcome you to take over every part of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless the food in the name of Jesus and we thank you for it. We bless, break every curse over, curse from the ground, curses spoken over it. All the things that they put on them when they spray in the land or whatever they do to it, we come against all that, that no harm will come to anyone in Jesus' name. All the insecticides they use on stuff, we bless the power of it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And we praise you and give you glory. Bless those in the kitchen, Lord, that have worked. Bless them, multiply and minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we praise you and give you glory. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.